Blog Talk Radio.
Who the fuck is this? Paging me at 5:46 in the morning. Crack of dawning, now I'm yawning. Wipe the cold out my eyes. Who's this page of me and why? It's my nigga Pop from the barbershop. Told me he was in the gambling spot and heard the intricate plot. A niggas wanna stick me like flypaper, neighbor. Slow down, love, please chill, drop the paper. Remember them niggas from the hill up in Brownsville that you rolled dice with? Smoke blunts and got nice wits. Yeah, my nigga Fame up in Prospect. Nah, them my niggas, nah, love wouldn't disrespect. I didn't say them, they schooled me to some niggas that you knew from back when. When you was clocking minor figures, now they heard you blowing up like nitro. When they wanna stick the knife through your windpipe slow. So, thank Fame for warning me, cause now I'm warning you. I got the Mac, nigga, tell me what you gonna do.
Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper.
They heard about the Rolexes and the Lexus with the Texas license plates out of state. They heard about the pounds you got down in Georgetown, and they heard you got half Virginia locked down. They even heard about the crib you bought your mom from Florida, the fifth corridor.
Call the coroner. It's gonna be a lot of slow singing and flower bringing if my burglar alarm starts ringing. What you think all the guns is for? All-purpose war, got the Rockwellers by the door. And I feed them gunpowder so they can devour the criminals trying to drop my decimals. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my cream, and it ain't a dream, things ain't always what it seems. It's the ones that smoke blunts with ya, see your picture. Now they wanna grab their guns and come and get ya. Bet your biggie won't slip. I got the calico with the black talons loaded in the clip, so I can rip through the ligaments, put the fuckers in the bad predicament where all the foul niggas went. Touch my cheddar, feel my Beretta. Fuck when I'ma hit you with your motherfuckers, better duck. I bring pain, blood stains on what remains of his jacket. He had a gun, he should've packed it, cocked it. Extra clips in my pocket so I can reload and explode on your asshole. I fuck around and get hardcore. C4 to your door, no beef no more, nigga. Feel the rough, scandalous. The more weed smoke I puff, the more dangerous. I don't give a fuck about you or your weak crew. What you gonna do when Big Papa come for you? I'm not running, nigga, I bust my gun in. Hold on, I hear somebody coming.
Come in, bastard, again. Just protect what the fuck asshole. Come on. You're getting close. Huh?
It's right
over here. You sure it's Biggie
Smalls'
crib, man?
I'm sure, motherfucker. Come on.
You better be his motherfucker, huh?
Fuck, man. Better be this motherfucker's ass.
Oh, shit.
What? What's up?
That red dot on your head, man.
What red dot? Oh, shit. You got a red dot on your head, too. Oh, shit.
Yo. What's going on? Welcome to another edition of Detroit Sports Rap. I'm your host, Big C, coming to you live in effect in a solo mission tonight, giving you guys a great show. We missed yesterday, so I wanted to make it up today. We got a lot of good information that we're going to give to you today. A lot of things going on in the sports world. I am here solo, so I may be taking a few little musical breaks just to give me a little rest and to get a little moisture, a little drink to keep me able to, you know, come to you guys live in effect. But again, though, this is Detroit Sports Rap. You usually can catch us on Wednesday nights, usually at 7. We usually go a couple hours. We talk about everything from the local sports scene to, you know, things going on nationally. We got a lot of things to talk about today, dealing with our home team, Tigers, as they are slowly but surely have fallen out of the race. A lot of us here, we're eternal optimists, and we want to say that they're in the race. But they're slowly but surely falling out of the race, and we're getting close to the trade deadline where we're generally buyers.
at the deadline. But, we possibly can be sellers. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're also going to talk a little bit about our local college football teams, University of Michigan and Michigan State University, as they prepare for their upcoming season. A lot of guys are getting ready for camp to kind of, get revved up. And we're going to take a little bit of a skill position preview, looking at the skill positions at U of M as well as Michigan State University. We're also going to talk a little bit about the NFL. Again, they're in their off season. We're getting ready for camp. Everybody's kind of gearing up for that. We normally give you a little bit of a topic on the Lions. We pretty much touched on a lot of things this off season so far with the Lions, so we're going to kind of leave them be for a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about the contracts that Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas signed for their respective teams. They were holding out. They signed last Friday. Both of them got pretty good deals. And we're going to talk about their deals, what it means to their teams, and possibly what it could mean to Calvin Johnson, who's up for an extension soon and who was making an excess of $16 million per year and right now has a cap number of $20 million and may have more. It may even be more next year, so we're going to need to get an extension for him. Talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about the Brady Deflategate decision. It has not come down yet, but the people are eagerly anticipating what's going to happen there. There's been a couple of issues that have already been kind of decided, if you will. The Greg Hardy issue, I won't say decided, but the NFL has kind of ruled on it. And basically Greg Hardy and Tom Brady were the big two that we were kind of waiting on, and we saw what they did with Greg Hardy. We're still waiting to see if there's going to be an appeal on his behalf by the NFL Player Association. And we're going to wait and hear what they're going to say, what the NFL is going to say about Tom Brady and Deflategate. I'm going to talk a little bit about fantasy football. That's definitely an area of concentration here for us. And the upcoming seasons are coming up. In this week alone, I've decided on three draft dates. I have a couple other, two other drafts that I'm going to be involved in. So I think I'm going to be in a total of 5 leagues this year, trying to push myself and see if I'm really, really, as good as I think I am. So we're going to talk a little bit about fantasy football, talk a little bit about what the most important position is, if there is a changing of the guard, if you will, at what's the most important position, and also a little bit of draft philosophy, strategy, if you will. I don't want to give you guys too much, but, just kind of see, what do you think is the most, proper way to draft, or what is your philosophy? Do you kind of draft best player available? Do you look to kind of fill your starting positions out? Would you draft for a position over a guy who you feel is higher rated or may have higher upside but plays a different position where you think that you may have enough depth at? And just talk about a couple of things. So let's get started. Let's talk about our Tigers, who took a tough loss today. They are now currently 1 game under 500, 47-48. Currently 11 games out of first place in the Central Division, 4 games out of the wild card. So that's still kind of within reach, but they've got to turn some things around. They've been playing pretty bad. I'm not saying pretty bad, but subpar, sub-500 baseball for some months now. They got out to a real hot start, and everyone was, thinking that, this is going to be the year. Injuries and things have kind of caught up with them. Inconsistent play offensively, defensively, pitching-wise, and batting-wise has kind of been, their biggest crux. And we're seeing that, and they seem to not be able to get on that hot streak that we saw them earlier in the season. So with that being said, the trade deadline is coming up next week, 31st. There's been a lot of chatter about what the Tigers are going to do. They're usually buyers at the trade deadline. They're usually in the mix of contention, in the heat of contention. And they're usually trying to find a piece or two that can kind of put them over the top. This year is a little bit different. We're sitting 11 games out. We haven't been able to really show consistent ability to put together consistent winning games or winning streaks in a very, very long time this season. So we have a couple players who have free agency looming over them. Yoenis Cespedes is a free agent. David Price is a free agent. And some folks are thinking that we may be able to trade those guys off and get some pieces for us either now or guys who maybe can contribute in the future to kind of, you know, get us over the hump in the future. Basically, selling those guys will could possibly mean waving the white flag on this season. So what do you guys think? They're going to be buyers or sellers out there? Me personally, I was hoping that they were going to be buyers. I'm still hoping they were going to be buyers. I'm still hoping to somehow get in this race and compete for a championship because I'm just built that way, to be honest with you. I just don't know. I look at a guy like, you know, Yoenis Cespedes, who's been a pretty productive player, not just this year, but previous years. They traded for him. They knew he was going to be a free agent. I just would have thought that they would have tried to lock him up for, you know, a long-term deal by now. Same thing with David Price. I understand he's a big-time arm. He's a big-time talent. But, hell, you know, we traded away Pfister. We traded away Scherzer. I'm sorry, not traded away. We traded away Pfister. We traded away Porcello. We let Scherzer go because of those are going to be big-time arms who are going to demand big-time salaries. And now we're left with a hodgepodge of starters. Green, who's been up and down. I'm sorry, Green has been pretty much down. Simon, who's been up and down. Annabelle Sanchez, who's been solid. And Price. And I just don't understand why they're not trying to engage. Last time I checked, engage him in serious contract talks. The word is that maybe his contract demands are a little bit high and Tigers don't feel comfortable with him. I don't really see why that is. I mean, the guy is definitely, he's won a Cy Young. He's been consistent. He's been our most consistent pitcher or player this year. So I can't really see why they are so reluctant to pay him. But up to this point, there haven't been any real serious free agency talks or extension talks from him and the Tigers. And then we look at, do you want to let this guy just walk away for nothing, you know, or do you want to trade him to a team that can possibly give you a couple either young guys who can help you this year or next year, or definitely next year, or a couple prospects that can be, you know, key cogs for years to come. So I think that's a real debate that has to be had, has to be taken seriously in the Tigers upper management and organization. When you also look at Yoenis Cespedes, a lot of guys are looking for a guy who can hit, a guy who can run, a guy who has a cannon for an arm on the outfield and can get assists and throw guys out. He's a very attractive player as well, and I think that you're going to see a lot of interest in those guys, and it's going to be key if the Tigers listen to offers and if they accept an offer that can kind of, you know, maybe make them a contender for years to come, but also be kind of waving the white flag on them contending this year and possibly the white flag on them winning the championship for D. Mike Ilitch. I mean, he's 86 years old. There's been some talk of a succession plan possibly in place for one of his younger children to take over the organization, the president and CEO of the Tigers. So, this is a guy who's definitely, you know, put a lot of money into the organization, to the city of Detroit, and wants to definitely bring a winner here. I mean, it's not for a lack of trying that he hasn't had a winner. And I really, really think that they would like to send him out on top. But they got some real soul searching to do. I'm also hearing rumblings that Dave Dombrowski, who has been, you know, kind of built this team into the contender that it has become. Even though they haven't had the success in the World Series, but it's been a perennial contender. But there's been some rumblings that a couple teams are out there are very interested in him as their GM. So they may make a run at him at the year end. So a lot of things are in place, a lot of fluid activity, if you will. So we got to keep an eye on that. With that being said, I have heard of some teams having some interest in David Price. There was a story that came out, I believe it was on Fox Sports Net, by Kim Rosenthal, who said that David Price, whether he's traded at the deadline or not, is a very good chance that he will not be back with the Tigers. He pointed out to the contract demands and the Tigers not being very, very comfortable with them as being the main factor. Also acknowledging that, to his point, he hadn't heard of the Tigers having major, major conversations with him about an extension, and there being major, major interest in him from other teams, namely the Chicago Cubs. Other teams that we're hearing interested in David Price is Houston Astros, who acquired Kazmir today. the LA Dodgers, the Toronto Blue Jays, and like I said, the Cubs. The team that is really, really, really kind of intriguing is the Cubs because it's a Midwestern team. They've expressed definitely some interest in signing him long-term. And you look at them, they're currently coached by Joe Maddon, who was David Price's coach in Tampa Bay. So he has a history with Joe Maddon. And I definitely see that being a possible destination for Mr. Price. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how that shakes down. Yoenis Cespedes, haven't heard any teams in particular. A number of contenders are definitely looking at him, but we'll have to see how it goes. I'm kind of leaning towards maybe the Tigers. If they get an offer they can't refuse, they have to make it, especially if a guy like David Price, if you know 75%, 80%, 85% chance that he's going to walk away, you definitely have to try to, get something for him. Cespedes is a guy that I really, really like. I would definitely think, both these players are guys I really, really like, and I would think that I would love to keep them around, both of them. But it's going to be interesting to see how everything kind of shakes down. Panic meter for the Tigers. I think last week I said it was pretty elevated. I'm going to go ahead and push it right up to 10, but it's probably the highest it can be. Unfortunately, I just don't think that they can get out of this hole. When I say hole, I mean winning the division. 11 games is going to be hard to make up. Now, can they possibly close the gap and on the wild card? Yes, sure. And anything can happen if they make the playoffs, no doubt about it. But they ought to turn it around, man. I think they definitely need some help. They need a starting pitcher and maybe a arm out of the bullpen or two. And what's that going to cost them? And what's going to be the future cost on their farm system? I really don't know. I don't know if I would make the deal, but, for contention's sake, that's what they need. I would not be surprised if they definitely did sell those pieces off and signal the end of kind of a little bit of an era and kind of a rebuild. My last point about this situation with the Tigers and this season kind of being a roller coaster that can't get back up is, where does this leave Brad Ausmus? Brad Ausmus was kind of, told to us to be, I don't want to say a genius because he hadn't coached before, but he was a guy that, was known for a sharp baseball mind. He had coached under some very good, managers in the past, had shown a keen eye, and I think did a great job last year. This year, I don't think that really the onus is on him as much. I think there have been a couple areas where he's definitely made a few mistakes, but overall, I think he's done a fairly decent job. He's been hit with some crazy injuries and some underperformance. These guys that Dombrowski brought in instead of Porcello and Scherzer, Green and Simon, have just not been what we needed them to be. I still think that, regardless of this year, unless this year just totally, totally bombs, if they still can contend for that wild card spot, he deserves another shot for next year. Definitely give him some more deal with a couple more arms for that pitching staff, get some guys healthy. But at the same time, it is time to start investing in that farm system. We don't really have very, very much coming up. We haven't really had very, very much over the last 3 or 4 years out of that farm system, guys who come up and been impact players. And I just don't see enough of them. I know we've done a lot of drafting of pitchers. We've traded a little bit of talent away. I don't know if we're not developing some of the guys that we need to develop at that farm system, but we have to invest in it so we can be around 10, 15 years from now and still be contending, kind of like what the Atlanta Braves did for a while in the 80s and 90s. Let's keep it moving. Let's go on. Let's make a transition to the football. As we know, we're fast approaching the football season. We're going to talk a little bit about the Michigan State skill position situation, and Michigan State is expected, they're coming off a great year. They expect to have another strong season. They return with a very strong nucleus defensively, solid offensive line, and Connor Cook, who's being touted as one of the top quarterbacks in the nation, possible Heisman Trophy candidate, possible number one pick or number one quarterback taken off the board next year. So they've got some good talent the question for them is going to be at the skill position. They lost a lot of guys. They lost Jeremy Langford, fourth round for the Chicago Bears in the draft, a guy who ran for over 1,500 yards last year out of the backfield for them. They also lost Tony Rippon, who had over 1,000 yards receiving for them, and Keith Mumphrey. Both of those guys are playing or vying to play on Sundays as they both were drafted in last year's draft. With that being said, there are a number of guys from Michigan State who do have experience at the wide receiver spot. First and foremost, Aaron Burbidge, a guy who has seen extensive time early in his career, and they kind of last year he kind of disappeared a little bit. But right now I think everyone's kind of counting on him to step up. He has the most experience. He has playmaking ability. He has talent. He's going to be the number one receiver. A couple other guys that we've seen out there, R.J. Shelton, McGarrett Kings, who's had some legal issues. We've got to check on his standing right now with the team. Monty Medeiros, and also DeAnthony Arnett, a very, very, very talented kid who's made it to his senior year. Hasn't had the impact that he thought he would have in college. He initially went to Tennessee, but now he's at Michigan State. So they have a nice, strong group of experienced guys. Some guys have more experience than others. They have a different skill set. A.J. Troop is also in that group. You got some big receivers. You got some small guys who can play in the slot. You got a nice little group, but it's going to be imperative that they can get some type of chemistry with Connor Cook. When you look at a Mumphrey and a Lipic, I mean, you're talking about over 80% of the wide receiver, not just wide receiver, passing game production out of just those two guys. So they have some huge shoes to fill. We talked about losing Langford, who was a fourth-round pick, and I think a very underrated back last year. A couple guys who were there in the spring, Madre London and Gerald Holmes, are, you know, guys who, you know, were solidly heralded prospects coming out of high school. Haven't seen very much of them in games for Michigan State, mostly just, you know, a few little mop-up duty appearances. And saw him in the spring game extensively, and I'm not going to say I wasn't impressed. The offensive line was kind of split up a little bit amongst the teams. I didn't really see one kind of separate, and I understand that they've kind of been in a dead heat for the whole spring. The guy that I'm going to look forward to seeing is this freshman from Ohio, L.J. Scott. He really, really looks the part, and I know his high school film, but this guy looks like he has an Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell type aspect to him. He's a bigger back, a physical back with good feet, good vision, and a lot of size. And he has the ability to separate, run through you, run over you, or run around you, or run past you. And I think that's a unique skill set that Michigan State has. He looks like a special guy. So I'm really eager to see what he does. I think out of the guys I've seen, I haven't seen him at this level, so I will preface it with that. But I think he's the most talented guy they're going to have on their roster at their running back spot, and I think it's going to be key that he gets the ball. I know that, you know, Michigan State has been known to run a couple running backs. I think L.J. Scott, I don't know if he's going to be the 1A or the 1B or the number 2 back, but I think he's going to get a lot of run this year for Michigan State. The tight end position is a position that, you know, I think definitely has some strength for Michigan State. We got Josiah Price, who is a great size, speed, ratio prospect. He's a big guy who can block and give you that inline blocker that you need, but he also has good hands, a good body, and solid route running ability. So he's a guy who, you know, can get open and can make some plays for you on the outside. They also have a Jamal Lyles, a big physical guy who really, really made some strides. He had switched positions from defensive end, so he's kind of learning the tight end position, getting reacclimated with it. Had some good moments last year for Michigan State. Definitely expected to get better, get stronger, be a better blocker for Michigan State this year. So they have some talent and some depth there. Connor Cook, as we said, I mean, this guy is expected to be one of the top quarterbacks taken in next year's draft. You're talking about someone, you know, who's going into his third year starting, has good experience. He's been through the wars. He's going to be a good leader for him Again, it's going to be imperative that he gets some type of build up some type of chemistry with his receivers. But I think it really comes down to Michigan State, their secondary, and how he acclimates himself to those receivers. Those are the two weak links on the team. I think if they can get those kind of straightened out, Michigan State has a lot of great things ahead of them this season, possibly playoffs, possibly BCS ball, a lot of great things ahead of them. Let's talk about my Michigan boys, my Michigan Wolverines, where, you know, the outlook, we don't quite know as much about the outlook. It's not quite as optimistic, but we always are the buzzword because everyone wants to know what's going on with Michigan. And let's talk about the quarterback position. First and foremost, competition, competition, competition. I love to hear that word. I love to have Coach Harbaugh here coaching these guys up, giving them the fundamentals they need. He's gotten solid quarterback play when he was in college and when he was in the pros. So I have confidence that whoever the quarterback is, whether, you know, no matter how good or bad they are, that he can definitely make them better. So that's a good thing. But the quarterback spot, man, Jake Rudick, a fifth-year transfer from Iowa, Alex Malzahn, a true freshman from here at Brother Rice. Shane Morris is going into his junior year, Warren De La Salle grad. And Zach Gentry, a true freshman out of Texas. I'm going to tell you, this is truly wide open, if you ask me. Rudick, you would think, has the experience because he's a two-year starter. But at the same time, he has to learn a new offense, and he wasn't able to practice with them in the spring. Then you're looking at Shane Morris, who's been here for 3 years. This is a new offense he's learned, but has not quite established himself as that guy. Has not shown the consistency or the accuracy to be considered a full-fledged starter and competitor, a guy who can take us to the next level. I think he definitely needs to show that. He has some game experience. He's been injured a few times out there, the most notably that concussion from last year. But for him, consistency and accuracy are going to be key. The two freshmen, I think, are going to play key roles this year. Hopefully they don't have to get on the field. But depending on what happens with Rudick, depending on what happens with them, I think it's going to determine the status of Shane Morris, who, like I said, is going into his junior year. If he's not the starter, he may choose to go other places and get, you know, on the field possibly. And that may leave two freshmen possibly as guys. I'm sorry, I forget about Wilton Spade, who's a third-year sophomore, as guys who can back these guys up. But I think it's going to be very imperative that Malzahn and Gentry really, really, really take time this year, soak up the college experience, soak up the playbook, soak up the coaching of Harbaugh. I think next year, once Rudick is gone, they are going to be definitely in position to compete with Shane Morris or whoever else is left. Don't forget about the O'Corn kid who's a transfer this year who cannot play this year, who's sitting out, who's going to be eligible next year. So Harbaugh is doing his best to kind of put himself in position to have a decent signal caller one way or another in a couple years. The wide receiver spot, very disappointed in that position last year. Funchess, I don't think, played like a big-time guy the whole season. After that first game, he kind of disappeared. He did have some injuries, so I will cut him some slack for that. Darbo is a guy who has been around for a while. People have been gushing about his ability. He showed flashes from time to time, but really a few too many drops, a little bit of inconsistent route running, and just wasn't consistently a big-time dominant player. So I expect a lot more for him. Jadu Chasen is another guy who came in with Durbo. They both are considered pretty, you know, high-level recruits. Chasen has not really made the impact that he needs to make. His route running needs a little work. He's had a couple drops. Both these guys are seniors, so they're going to be leaned upon to kind of take that next step and lead the young group of receivers. After those guys, you definitely have a mix, guys with a lot of promise and a lot of talent, but not a lot of experience. You know, when we look at some of these guys out here, we're talking about Maurice Ways, who made some noise in the preseason. He's a redshirt freshman. When you talk about Freddie Canteen, a guy who was really, really getting buzzed last year in the spring and the fall, had a few moments, but
just really, really, really wasn't consistent. He's a guy who can play in the slot or outside, so I really expect him to see a lot more time this year, especially with Dennis Northfleet. I don't know what his situation is on the team. I don't know if he's still suspended, if he's going to be playing this year or what. But Freddie Canteen, you know, looks to be probably that third receiver, the first crack of that third receiver and gets a shot to, you know, get on the field and make some plays. But you got a couple other guys that I really would like to see. Drake Harris out of Grand Rapids. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, you know, 6'5", 190 pounds, supposed to be able to run like the wind and just really, really have all the skills necessary to be special out here, but he's had some serious injuries in terms of his hamstrings. I mean, I believe this is his either his second or his third year there, and he's yet to make that impact there. So, we're waiting on him to do something. But the wide receiver spot is going to be key. We need some guys who can get open and who can catch the ball at the wide receiver spot. Tight end, position of strength. Whoever the quarterback is, they know that they have a couple guys at that tight end position who have a lot of ability, who have experience playing in the Big Ten. You got guys like Jake Butt coming off a little bit of an ACL injury, but he came back late last year and was able to make a contribution. Now he's going to be fully recovered. You got to really watch him. He has great ability as a receiver, great ability as a run after a catch guy, solid blocker. Ian Bunting is coming off of a little bit of an injury last year, a young guy who has tremendous potential, tremendous upside, a guy I expect a lot of good things from. So you also have him. And then Khalid Hill is a guy who's coming off an ACL injury as well. Got a lot of ACL injuries with these tight ends at Michigan. But, again, a guy who's a dual-threat guy who can block, he can run. He can block, he can run routes, he can run after the catch, has good hands. So there's a lot of talent there. So the young quarterback should feel at least comfortable with a trio of experienced tight ends. Running back position, we have pretty much everybody returning, and normally that would be a good deal. You've got Derek Green, who was a five-star recruit from a couple of years ago, came in a little bit overweight 2 years ago. Devin Smith is a big physical back who runs extremely hard, powerful. I really, really like him. Drake Johnson, who's coming off an ACL injury. I don't know how healthy and available he'll be early in the season. And then you also have Ty Isaacs, a guy who transferred from USC. A lot of talent. Big boy, 235 pounds, supposed to be his size, power, but we haven't seen much of him at USC due to some injuries, and he's been pretty injured since he's been here at Michigan. So we don't know really what he can do. Eager to see what he can do out there. But those four guys are the main ball carriers. No real big recruits. We didn't get Mike Weber out of Cass Tech. So no real big recruits at the running back spot for Michigan this year. They got a couple guys, but none of them are expected to really, really make that impact at the running game. So there's some question marks, definitely. There's some young, talented guys there as well. And some questions are going to definitely have to be answered if Michigan is to have some success this upcoming season. So eager to see how all those things work out. Let's transition a little bit to the NFL. We saw Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas sign huge contracts, 4 years, $70 million. 5 years, $70 million on Friday, right before the deadline for the 1 year, 10 years, tenders for the free agents or franchise guys. So good deals for him. I was kind of surprised a little bit that they did not take more money, or did not ask for. I'm sure they asked for more money, but they didn't get more money. You know, usually you have a guy like Calvin Johnson who's making $16 million a year. He signed his deal a couple years ago. You expect these young upcoming guys, Dez and Demaryius, to possibly get more. That was my thought process, and it really, really surprised me when both of them signed for less. I don't know if there were some issues saying there were some guys saying that there was possible collusion
amongst NFL franchises, Dallas and Denver. But really, I think what it boils down to is I think teams are, number one, the biggest difference is the CBA. You got to realize when Calvin came into the league, they didn't have the rookie salary cap in place. He was the number two pick, so he received a very large salary to begin with. He was tremendously successful early on in his career, and that led to a real, real major. That mega deal was done before the current CBA was done, and it allowed him to really maximize his value. You know, we have the now, we have the new CBA, we have the rookie raise salary cap, the rookie raise scale in place, which kind of keeps rookie salaries in check, so their next contracts aren't as big as their first or bigger than their first ones. But with that said, we got Calvin on the books for he's actually on the books for over $20 million next year. And if we were to franchise him the year after that, it'd be close to $25 million. Actually, he's making $16 a year. I think this deal is possibly going to open up, help the Lions, assist the Lions in re-signing Calvin, getting him at a lower number, a much lower number than the $20 million he's on the cap for, and maybe lower than the $14 million. When you look at Calvin, he's been in the league for a number of years. This will be his third deal. He's made a lot of money in his first deal. Not to say he's going to, give us a little hometown discount, but, under those first two deals, under the old CBA, he made a lot of money. He's getting up there in age. The last 2 years, he's missed at least, five games. Not each, but combined, five games combined. He's been banged up a little bit. So with that being said, it would not surprise me if he came in for his extension somewhere between $13 and $15 million a year. I think that with Dez and Demaryius, guys who are younger, guys who have been, the last 2 or 3 years probably just as productive. I think no one has more yards or touchdowns than Demaryius in the last 3 years, and Dez has been double-digit touchdowns for the last 3 years. So those are guys putting up great numbers, and for them to take the $14 million, I think that's going to, kind of set the market for the wide receiver position. And I think Calvin's going to come in somewhere in that $13 to $15 million range, depending on, the year he has this year, depending on his health this year and things of that sort. But it's going to be interesting to see, because we have a couple real big free agents coming up that we're going to definitely have to get signed. We definitely have to get DeAndre Levy taken care of, and we definitely have to get Calvin Johnson taken care of. And I'm hoping to avoid a situation like we had with Sue. So the earlier they take care of these guys, I think the better off they'll be. I am going to take a little bit of a break, wet my whistle a little bit. I'll give you guys a couple minutes of this J. Cole. I'll be right back with you in 1 second. Enjoy some of this grown Simba for a minute.
Yeah. Now I was dreaming about a deal at the age of 13. I was fiending for the meals, I ain't talking Burger King. Some of my niggas in the veil, all they did was surfing. Fuck scales, I had skills all day rehearsing. Them pretty boys had them girls, spent their time flirting. All they wanted was some waves like they fucking surfing. Hold up, now don't get it twisted, I ain't hating, do your thing. I was like a young Simba, couldn't wait to be the king. Now a nigga is the prince. Hopped over the fence where the grass way greener. Look at Shawty ass way meaner. Something like Serena mixed with Trina, have you seen her? She fine enough to be Miss Howard, word to Adina. My money like a senior, watch it graduate. Now it's time to eat, I'm letting all my niggas grab a plate. Gravitate to real shit, stay away from phonies. These niggas heard about me, now they acting like they know me. Keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah. Hey, where you going, nigga? Hey. It ain't no telling. Yeah, they keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Hey, it ain't no telling. Yeah, can't tell you where I'm going. No, I won't stop.
Goodbye to the bottom, hello to the top. Pardon the interruption, a proper introduction is necessary when your shit is legendary, man. Greedy niggas wouldn't let me in the cafeteria, cause they ain't believe, suddenly they Presbyterian. The hoes is librarians, they looking me up. She got a Jones like Marion, she licking me up. Then we cut, look how she say my name. I got a moaning J. Cole, they used to say Jermaine. I never changed, I'm like a corpse in a coffin, 6 feet, shit deep. I was low, just a dollar and some hope, fix me. Cause I was broke, plus the weed that I would smoke would make it worse. Lord, please let my problems disappear like Ron Mercer. I'm a star, conversing with them girls with them curves like cursive. They open like curtains, cause my shit is unheard of like curses on the radio. Same bitches used to play me though, now they yelling, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah. Hey, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah, they keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Going, nigga. It ain't no telling. Yeah, I can't tell you where I'm going. No, I won't stop. Goodbye to the bottom. Yeah, hello to the top.
I left the city for a minute, but it's still on my back. Told my niggas, hey, I'm finna put the veil on the mat. I'll be back, and I'm coming with a deal in the plat. Cause I'm ill, bitch, they couldn't make a pill for the rat. Pouring liquor for my niggas that was killed in the back. Came home, shit is real, niggas still in the trap. Hold up now, don't get it twisted. If you slang, do your thing. Me, I'm like a young Simba, I can't wait to be the king. Witness the drink, straight out that Carolina water. I was brought up in the city where the skinny niggas tryna be the ballers. Ain't no fathers but the skinny niggas tryna hit their daughters. Sneaking in the crib, but a mama never caught us. What they taught us, man, them bad bitches only want the ballers, the starters. We hoopin' out of hoes, wanna guard us. Okay, so play D, know what I mean? And I put you on the team, man. This life is but a dream, and I need a fast car. Bad bras, fast forward, pass car. I'm a fucking rap star. Hey, where you going, nigga? It ain't no telling. Yeah, they say this life is but a dream. Well, I need a fast car, bad bro, fast forward, passport. I'm a fucking rap star. Hey, where you going, nigga? Yeah, it ain't no telling.
And I'm back with you. I had a little bit of a break. Got me a little water. Had a couple peanuts, so I'm good to go. Got a chance to scour a couple website to see what's going on out here in the world. And our next topic, we're going to talk a little bit about Tom Brady. The Deflategate decision was expected to be sometime this week, and then we heard that Goodell didn't have a timeline on it. We're kind of waiting, kind of see what's going on. I need to know what's up with Tom Brady before my fantasy draft start. Now, hopefully, you know, it'll be great if Goodell goes ahead and gets this settled. But with that being said, there were some talks this today that the NFLPA had extended a settlement proposal to the NFL, and that there's been the word that they did have some discussions about this, and it sounds like the discussions have broken down. It sounds like both sides are trying to dig themselves in and trying to decide how they want to proceed with this. It looks like Tom Brady, with the settlement that was offered, would be amiable to a large fine, but does not want to miss any games. It sounds like the NFL is kind of balking at that right now, kind of trying to see, you know, trying to decide what type of case it may have against Brady. In the words of Ted Wells in the Wells report, it was more probable than not that Brady knew about the situation. In his words, what that means, I really don't know fully. I'm very interested to see how this is going to turn out. But this, to me, has a potential to get kind of ugly. From what we're hearing, that, you know, Brady is really upset. He feels like his legacy has been sullied, although I just did read that Tom Brady, for the first time in his career, is number one in merchandise sales. I mean, did Deflategate really, really help this guy? Who knows? But it's interesting, though. I'm hearing that he is more than willing to take it to court and get an injunction that would allow him to play in games this season. I'm hearing that the NFL is really, really trying to really, really see what type of basis that they have. They're really, really intent on him missing some games, and basically all four games, possibly two games, but definitely missing some games for his whatever behavior. They deemed that either him not participating in cooperating with the investigation, or if they're saying that he did have knowledge of what went on. But whatever it is, both sides seem pretty bent right now on, you know, proving their point, and I think this has the potential to get kind of ugly. I know the NFL does not want any more black eyes, do not want any more bad publicity. I think a elongated, drawn-out situation over this will be another black eye. So hopefully we'll know. We'll get some type of clarity on this in a couple weeks and figure out what's going on. Tom Brady. And another bit of news, I know we had spoken briefly about DeAndre Levy having to get locked up. Well, I don't know if this is going to help him, hurt him, or whatever, but there is a situation in Tampa Bay where Levante David, who's probably the number one outside linebacker in a 4-3 defense, is negotiating with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a new deal and extension. And I think that extension is kind of going to be the framework that DeAndre Levy is going to have, you know, is going to work his deal with. Like I said, Levante David has been a tremendously productive player for some years now, all-pro quality player. When you look at Levy, Levy's definitely been doing his thing. He's definitely improved every year, and he's got himself up to an all-pro level as well. I don't know if I would give them equal money, but I definitely think that they're in the same ballpark. And if Levante David can get a deal done quickly, that could possibly be the framework for a deal for DeAndre Levy. Also, while we're talking about the NFL, Tom Brady. I said Tom Brady's leading the merchandise for the first time in his career. Kind of want to see what kind of is driving that. And per some information, it says that basically his looming suspension was a big factor in his ranking. He had never been ranked in the top three in merchandise sales until 2015. Quarterbacks have dominated the top five list with Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and Peyton Manning, also in the top players. And after that, you have guys like J.J. Watt, Richard Sherman, Odell Beckham, and two rookie quarterbacks, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, rounding out the top 10 in terms of merchandise sales. So, you know, this could possibly be promoting his legacy, promoting his brand. I know some folks were like, oh, his brand hasn't been hurt. I heard Stephen A. say his brand has been, you know, has been sullied, has been hurt. But I really, you know, to be honest with you, I really, really question that, because I think, you know, he made the statement that people think that, you know, that Tom Brady's a cheater and I think that he knew what was going on and they're going to always think that. But kind of part of me is kind of like, you know what, people felt that way anyway about the Patriots. When you look at, you know, when you look at Spygate and some of the other things that have gone on, I mean, people have always looked at them as a team that kind of pushes the envelope, stretches the rules, if you will. And I think that they kind of already have that mindset that, hey, you know, this is possibly what's going on. So I don't know if his legacy has been sullied or not. That's very, very interesting to see. But hopefully we can get an answer in the next week or two. Like I said, I got a couple of fantasy drafts coming up, and I would like to know before the draft, because I think Tom Brady with a four-game suspension could be a steal in the draft. So definitely keep your eye on that. Let's keep it moving, man. I'm by myself, and I'm going through everything kind of quickly. So I think we're going to wrap it up really soon. Fantasy football, man, it's almost that time. Everybody's trying to get their draft on. Everybody's talking about what they're going to do this year, what they've done in the past, blah, 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 blah. And I love it, man. I love fantasy football. I love the crap talking. I love the strategy that goes into it. I love playing in different leagues that bring different challenges to me. I am a multi-champion, I think a seven-time champion, six in my league of records. I was in just a random league last year, and I won one of 18 league. And I love it, man, I can't wait for the season to start. But what we want to talk about today is, you know, what is the most important position in fantasy football? In years past, it was definitely the unquestioned most important position was the running back position. And it was kind of because, A, those guys put up a lot of points, and, B, there was a little bit of scarcity there. You know, you had, you know, lead backs put up points. You know, quarterback was very important as well, but you knew that there was going to be a couple quarterbacks you know, 8 to 10 of them who can put up points. But the running back position used to be like 5 or 6 that could really, really, you know, really, really doing it. And then there would be another, you know, 6 or 7 guys who, you know, they may not be number one guys, but they were guys you can get away with. You get a couple of them, you know, you're doing pretty good. Then there's a couple other guys, you know, who were decent. And then you had your, you know, preliminary sleepers and things of that sort. The running back position, I think, is still a very deep position. But I think the lead that lead back has kind of, I'm not going to say died, because I think there's still 5 or 6 very good lead backs in the league. But the running back by committee has just really, really proliferated through the NFL. And it's hard to get a read on, you know, if you're going to get an 1,100 back with 7 touchdowns or if you're going to get a 1,500 back with 12 touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? And with that being said, you don't know if the guy, if there's going to be another guy on the team who's going to get another 150, 200 carries and 15, 20 catches, and that takes out of the, you know, takes the points out of your guys' pocket. So with the advent of the running back by committee, I think that, you know, the positional value of the running back has gone down. Also with the proliferation of the passing league, you've seen more quarterbacks who score 250 points or more than ever. You know, the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of wide receivers put up big, big numbers and become very, very, very popular and productive. In my league, in particular, where we play 3 wide receivers and a flex, you possibly can have 4 wide receivers. You have potentially different ways to win games. You don't have to be, everybody has to draft running backs. No, you can have guys who are drafting running backs. You have guys who are drafting receivers. You know what I'm saying? You got guys who think, you know, the quarterback is that deal, and they're drafting the big guys early. You also got guys who want to wait on a quarterback 5, 6, 7, 8 rounds and go with, you know, the 9th or 10th best quarterback if they have a solid team around them. So it's really about really how you feel. I made a statement earlier about how do you, you know, what do you think is important or what's important when you're drafting? Is it getting the most talented players possible? Is it trying to get a balanced team? Do you just draft stockpile talent in one position if you can, and because, you know, you're missing value on guys. And I'm going to be honest with you. All those philosophies, I think, are sound philosophies if they're, I mean, I use them all in conjunction. It really depends on the situation. You know, if you're going to play 2 or 3 wide receivers in your league, you know you need to get 1 or 2 of them for sure. If you're in a league where, you know, it's kind of standard and you're going to have, you know, your flex can be a running back and or wide receiver, so you very well could only have 2 wide receivers. Running backs, I mean, may have precedence there. Balanced teams, I think, are important, but I think sometimes folks reach early for balance and pass on more talented players. You know, yeah, I need a receiver. I know I need 2 receivers, so I didn't draft the 2 running backs. I drafted a quarterback, now I need some receivers, so I'm going to take these 2 receivers for my next pick. I'm trying to fill out my lineup rather than put the best team available for you. So I do think that happens. But at times, though, you don't want to miss that run and have a wide receiver who's really a wide receiver who's ranking and production ranks them with a wide receiver 3 as your wide receiver 1 because you stacked up other you know, you may, you know, depending on the situation. Now, if you're in the league where folks like to wheel and deal, you may be able to stockpile some talent because, you know, you can possibly make a trade with someone to kind of balance your roster. Now, if you're in a team, you're in a roster where everyone talks the talk and don't walk the walk, when it comes down time to press that trade button, that accept button, they can't really pull the trigger, then you might want to draft a more balanced team because the only way you're going to get better is through your team and acquisitions off the waiver wire. So in that case, you might want to draft a little bit more balanced team because, hey, guys aren't going to make any deal, you know, and they're going to be scared. So I think all these philosophies definitely have positives and negatives. For me, I'm going into it. I'm taking everything as a separate situation, every draft as a separate situation. I know I have some players that I really, really particularly like, but I'm trying my best, and I have my last couple years. So, yeah, if I got some guys that I really, really have a strong conviction about, yeah, maybe 3 or 4 of those, 2 or 3 of those guys I want on my team, definitely. But I'm not trying to have a league, one team that's participating in 5 leagues. There's like 6 or 7 ways to skin a cat, and I'm going to try to skin them all different ways in one season. So I'm going to look at balanced teams. I'm going to look at stockpiling talent. I'm going to look at if my league is a trading league, do guys like to make deals, or if guys – you know, scared to really push the button. I'm going to take all those things into consideration. I'm going to draft accordingly, and I suggest that you guys do too as well. I don't think there's one set philosophy that works. I mean, some folks get a little scatterbrained if they try to do too many. So, you know what I'm saying, don't overthink it. Don't get paralysis by analysis. So definitely give yourself the best chance to win. With that being said, do not draft list. I've got a couple guys, man, I'm not going to be messing with, just for different reasons, mostly injury, lack of production, the buzz. It's a couple guys I'm just really not excited about. The New Orleans running backs, I'm not really excited about them. I know Mark Ingram had a good year last year. I picked him 2 years previous to last year, and he hasn't done much for me. So he kind of burned me. I know he had a decent year last year, but it was kind of, when you look at it, it was good, not great. He's the guy there now. They look to be going towards more of a run-based offense. They traded away some receivers. They got a couple of linemen. They also traded away a couple of linemen, too, that I think were pretty good. So I think that's maybe a detriment to them as well. But I just don't trust Mark Ingram. And it's not like I won't draft him, but he's rated, like, right now, maybe like the 10th or 12th best running back. There's a number of guys I would like in front of him. Maybe even a couple of a rookie. I may even like Melvin Gordon in front of him in that offense. But I say I won't draft him, but if he's there in the 7th or 8th round, I think currently he's going in the 4th, 5th round, somewhere between the 3rd and the 5th round. I think if he's there in the 6th to 8th round, possibly, you know, take a flyer on him. But I'm not messing with him. And then C.J. Spiller, besides that, one year he had in Buffalo, often banged up. He's a tease. I'm not messing with him at all. At all. Another guy I'm not messing with. I shouldn't say not messing with, but Drew Brees. New Orleans. I don't know why New Orleans is scaring me this year. Drew Brees is normally a very, very, very productive quarterback. I still think he's going to be productive. I just think they're going to be productive in different ways. He always throws nice yardage totals. He always throws for a nice number of touchdowns. But he also has a way of throwing some picks. The last couple of years, those picks have kind of going up and up. You look at this year's team, there's no more Jimmy Graham, so some of those red zone touchdowns may possibly go away. There's no more Kenny Steele, so some of those big plays, even though Brandon Cooks is a burner as well, may go away. The offensive line, there's been a couple changes there. Now, like they're going to say that their offensive line is better suited for the run game, and that's cool, that's fine. But with them going to the run game a little bit more and them being a little less apt in passing, pass blocking, I can definitely see his numbers going down. Not going to say I'm not going to draft him, but I just don't see me drafting him where he's going. He's going between the 3rd and the 4th round as well. I think he's more of a 7th, 8th round guy. Keenan Allen, in the first year, picked him up off the waiver wire. He definitely proved that he was a very valuable, you know, receiver. Gave me a high-end wide receiver 2 season his first year, and then last year he kind of, you know, bummed out. I think he's a very talented guy. I just need to see more consistency from him. Phillip Rivers is a guy that likes to spread the ball around. He's a productive guy, and if you can get open and you can make plays, he'll get it to you. But you have to be productive and consistent. You know, we've seen Malcolm Floyd have big games under him. We've seen a couple other no-name guys have big games under him. Now, to me, this year, with Antonio Gates missing the first 4 games, Keenan Allen has definitely a shot to step it up. He's kind of going from my do-not-draft list to kind of boom or bust. But with that said, I'm still not sold on him. There's a number of other wide receivers out there who scare me a lot less, are in very, very, very productive situations, who I would rather take a gamble on. Maybe somebody like an Andre Johnson. I may take a gamble on him, a Golden Tate. I may take a gamble on him, Deshaun Jackson. I may take a gamble on him. But Keenan Allen, I'm not really sold on this season right now. Julius Thomas, I think he's tremendously productive. I think he has tremendous ability. I think he's possibly going to go to Jacksonville and be possibly their best wide receiver. Although Allen Robinson, the young guy out of Orchard Lake St. Mary's and Penn State, did my Michigan boys up a couple of years ago, did have a very strong showing last year at the beginning of the season. He got injured, missed, I'm going to say, either half or a little less than half of the season, so we didn't quite get a chance to finish up what he started, but had over 600 yards last year receiving. And as promised, they've added a couple more guys over there. They've added Julius Thomas over there, but I'm still afraid of Julius Thomas, and I'm really afraid of Bortles. I don't know if Bortles is the guy, ready to be the guy. I don't know if they have enough weapons. It's not Denver. You know what I mean? And we know how Peyton, for those who don't know, Peyton loves his tight end. He's had productive tight ends everywhere he's been. He loves throwing to him. And Julius is a guy who was definitely productive for him. But at the same time, pre-Peyton Manning, who was Julius Thomas? I didn't even know who he was. He had a couple injuries. So hopefully he doesn't revert back to those injury stats where he's not playing. And will he be productive with Blake Bortles in a less heralded skill position group? You know, it's different when you don't have a Demaryius Thomas and the Emmanuel Sanders and the Wes Welker out there. When it's just Allen Robinson and Cecil Shorts and Marquise Lee and him and then Blake Bortles, I don't know if you're going to put up the same number. So, I don't know if I'm going to say do not draft, but I'm definitely waiting on him. Last but not least, man, is Colin Kaepernick. I know he's a little bit lower on those rankings, but he's a guy that, you know, I look at as a boom or bust candidate. I mean, the guy has a great arm, solid surrounding talent, has good running ability, has the ability to be a fantasy nightmare like he was that first year, but also has the ability to implode. And 2 years in, I think this is actually his third or fourth year start. I'm just not sold on him being a consistent fantasy starter. So with that being said, I'd rather have a guy like Tannehill. I'd rather have Stafford, who's going a little bit later in draft due to his down year last year. Phillip Rivers is a guy I like a lot. Carson Palmer, maybe, if he gets that low. But, I'm going to take those guys over Colin Kaepernick. With that being said, it's a little past 10, it's 10:03. I have run out of material to go over. We missed our boy L today. But with that being said, hopefully you can check us out next week. Our football season has begun. We're out there trying to work with the youngsters, training them up, getting them conditioned for our season at Oak Park Prep. We may be fluctuating days like I did today on the Thursday, did the show. But you can check for our show weekly. It's definitely going to be out there. And if it's not on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, just check on Friday for our archives. I'll put it out there somehow, some way. And definitely keep us in the loop. Please tell your friends about us. This is Detroit Sports Wrap. You can catch us Tuesday or Wednesday nights at 7:30. We're usually on for a couple hours. And we're talking about the local sports scene here in Detroit, Michigan, as well as the national scene. So with that being said, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Tell a friend about us, definitely. Check out our archives for previous shows. And I am going to go out. I came in with Biggie. I'm going to go out with some Biggie. This is that juicy. And remember, folks, if you don't have a passion for anything else, please have a passion for life. And a passion for sports, man. I love you guys. Check you out next week. You guys be safe.
Fuck all you hoes. Get a grip, motherfucker. Yeah. This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
It's all good,
and all the niggas in the struggle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, da-ha. You never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Piece of raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri, Funk Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. With Robin Leach, and I'm far from cheap. I smoke stuff with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play coke. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear, putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood, and it's still all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Phone bill about 2G flat. No need to worry, my accountant handles that. And my whole crew is lounging, celebrating every day, no more public housing. Thinking back on my one-room shack. Now my mom pimps the act with minks on her back. And she loves to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the sauce. We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right, I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive, and it's all. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Representing B.